This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome to this talk about increasing divide in Islam. Salman just announced welcoming anyone who's new. So, do we have some new people coming first time here? Oh, mashallah, you made it.
Yeah.
How was it? Because you were able to find the place.
Yes.
Usually first time people are unhappy. Why? We couldn't find it. Well, alhamdulillah, that's good. So finally you were able to find it. Okay. Allah Azza wa Jalla reminded us in the Quran that everything belongs to Him. Now, this includes the money as well. So, our approach as Muslims should be from the beginning different from what the Kuffar do when it comes to wealth, when it comes to money, when it comes to everything. Why? Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah An-Nur, وَأَتُوهُمْ مِنْ مَالِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَعْتَاهُمْ. Give them of the money of Allah that He gave them. This is essential because it makes a world of difference. When I know that the money I have is not mine, it is not mine. It belongs to Allah Azza wa Jalla. How it belongs to Allah, yet I have it. Allah Azza wa Jalla gave it to me as an aman, as a trust. So, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, whatever I do with it, I will be asked about it. It's not totally mine. The kuffar, however, they don't have this. And that's why from the beginning it should be different. When we approach the concept of money, when we talk about money, we have to remember that it belongs to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And in the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, لَن تَزُولَ قَدَمَا عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُسْأَلَ عَنْ اللَّهِ. The feet of the son of Adam will not be moved, will not be taken, either to paradise or to hellfire, unless he is asked. Until he is asked about four things. One of the questions is about the money. Two-part question. Where did you get it from and how you spent it? So if it is totally mine, when you say this is my money, I can do whatever I want with it, why then you will be asked about it on the Day of Judgment? Where did you get it from and how you spent it? That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, the poor immigrants, the poor of the Muhajireen, will enter Jannah half a day before the rich of the companions. And half a day with Allah Azza wa Jalla is how many years? 500 years. وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ. One day with your Lord is 1,000 years. So half a day is how much? 500 years. Why they will enter ahead 500 years? Because of this simple fact. That they will be asked, where did you get the money from and how you spent it? Where did you get this money from and how you spent it? Where did you get... The poor, they don't have any money. Now, of course, I'm not saying by all means, I'm not saying that we should be poor. This is a misconception. Unfortunately, you may find some speeches where people are encouraging people to be poor. No, never Islam encouraged people to be poor. I will talk about this. Yes, you need to be simple, you need to live a simple life, even if you have billions, but it doesn't mean that you don't make money. That's the misconception that many Muslims have. Also, another important thing, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَلْبَيْعَانِ بِالْخِيَارِ مَا لَمْ يَتَفَرَّقَ. The two parties, the buyer and the seller, they have the choice of finalizing the sale or canceling it. As long as they didn't separate. Once I like something you have and I ask you to sell it to me and you agree to sell it to me and I pay you the price, initially this should be finalized and that's it, no refund, no return. But as long as we are in the same place, we still have the option of returning the item. Now, the point here is what? In business, they tell you, satisfaction is the commodity that businesses are looking for. Once the customer is satisfied, you achieve it. But here the Prophet ﷺ says, الْبَيْعَانِ بِالْخِيَارِ مَا لَمْ يَتَفَرَّقَ. The two parties, the seller and the buyer, they have the option. As long as they don't separate. فَإِنْ صَدَقَ That's the point of the hadith, why I'm mentioning it. فَإِنْ صَدَقَ وَبَيَّنَ If they told the truth and explained everything, they didn't hide any defect, بُورِكَ لَمْ Allah will bless their transaction. بُورِكَ لَمْ And that's the key. You're not only dealing with someone in front of you, even if he's happy. That's the main thing. Is Allah Azza wa Jal happy? So, Allah Azza wa Jal reminded us that this money does not belong to us. It belongs to Allah. وَأَنْفِقُوا How many times Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Quran, spend of the money that Allah gave you. مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ Therefore, always be mindful of Allah Azza wa Jal. Even if the customer is happy. And that's why we have a lot of transactions in Islam are prohibited. Even if you say, well, you know what? I'm okay with it. I'm fine. They are the ones who are charging me interest, so I'm the one who is losing, I'm fine. No, even if you are fine, Allah Azza wa Jalla is not fine. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَى It's prohibited. Once it is prohibited, whether you are okay with it or you are not, you cannot do it. Islam looks for both parties, not only for one. So, this is the main important point, number one. Number two, in Islam, it is always better to work than ask. It is always better to work and ask. When people say, how can I get the barakah? How can I increase my wealth? One simple fact is, try always to work for your earnings. What does that mean? What if you got some money without even asking? Now, people who ask, they may be eligible to ask. And that's why we have recipients of zakah. They deserve the zakah. We have zakah, which is part of the pillars of Islam, and there are recipients who deserve that money. Once your money is subject to zakah, that's not even your money anymore, it belongs to the poor. But when you are able to work, even if the money came to you without asking, it is better to work. Why? I'll give you two examples. One example, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu. Abdurrahman ibn Auf left Mecca. He was rich in Mecca. He left Mecca and migrated to Medina. And he left everything behind. The Prophet ﷺ was looking for a suitable match for every companion who comes from Mecca to find a suitable match for Medina to establish the brotherhood. So, the Prophet ﷺ gave Abdurrahman bin Auf to Sa'd ibn Rabi'a radiallahu anhu. Sa'd ibn Rabi'a was very rich. So he told the Prophet, Abdurrahman bin Auf, here is my money, take half of it. Did Abdurrahman bin Auf ask for it? No. Is it okay to take this money? Of course. Money you didn't ask for it, it is offered for you. I mean, in our time, who would refuse that? But Abdurrahman bin Auf said no. Not because it is haram or it is not permissible, but because Abdurrahman bin Auf had the spirit of riches. Even without money. He was rich in Mecca. He lost his money. He came to Medina. Still, he has the spirit of riches. So, he said one famous statement. Show me the marketplace. I will go and I will earn. When Abdurrahman bin Auf, radiallahu anhu, died, how much money did he leave? He left hundreds of thousands. He left a huge wealth. Why? Because he worked for that. He earned the money. So even if the money is coming to you easy way, you can work, it's always better to work. Another example, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, a young companion came, one of the youth. He came asking for money. And always in Islam, we encourage development. We encourage work instead of being dependent. So Prophet ﷺ looked at him, this man is able to work. Why would he ask? So he asked him, do you have anything at home? He said, yes. We have a piece of cloth. We spread it and sometimes we get covered with it. And we have also a cup. He said, bring them. He brought them. So the Prophet ﷺ auctioned those off. He auctioned them, and they were sold for 2 dirhams. Now, Prophet ﷺ had money. He was able to give him from the money of the sadaqah, but why? Yes, you are recipient. You could be eligible for taking money. But if you are able to work to earn that money, why you take it like that? So he told him, go and buy with one dirham some food for your family. They didn't have food. So he went and he bought food. Then he told him with the other dirham, bring the sharp metal edge. And he went and he brought that. You know the axe, the upper part. Like if you have a hammer or axe or anything sharp, the upper part. So the Prophet ﷺ himself took a stick and tied it with it. He told him, take, go to the woods and cut the woods and don't come back until 15 days pass. I don't want to see you until 15 days, half a month. And the man went. After 15 days came. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him, he said, I have 10 dirhams. He could have gotten that in one day. The Prophet ﷺ could have given him that in one day. But he told him, this is better for you. This is better for you. So we need to think like that. If I can make the money, why would I accept taking it? Always Islam encourages being the upper hand, not the lower hand. The upper hand is the hand that gives. As long as you can be the upper hand, do it. This is why actually even this, now you noticed we announced that there is a donation box, right? Even this, I mean here at Aris, I told the brothers, our staff, that no more. We don't want this because you see organizations, Islamic organizations, please donate, please help, please, until when? So you ask yourself, until when? Where is that money going? When will you be self-sufficient? One piece of advice I didn't take 3 years ago when we started, and I regret that now actually, because one of the brothers, mashallah, he's one of the well-established business people, he told me, increase the prices. You charge 1,500, charge 2,000. I told him, people are already complaining. He said, there will always be people complaining. You increase the price, whoever cannot pay, you will help him. But this way, you are self-dependent. You don't depend on anyone, you are self-sufficient. And that was supposed, that's the way to go. Because now you helped, tomorrow what will happen? It's totally different when I come to someone and I ask him, please help me. Yeah, we are Muslims and we should help one another. Here is 50. Here is 100 ringgit. Next day I come and I say, please help me. Okay, fine. Third time, what will happen? You'll tell me what's going on. You'll be tired. So until when, if you depend on people, there will be a time when you will not have anyone to help you. So try always to be the upper hand. If you can even buy something cheap and sell it and earn that difference, that's much better for you. And this is the way to go. Abdurrahman bin Auf, radiallahu anhu, this companion from the Ansar, and there are many other examples. And here is a question for you, because this happened here, and I heard that from some of the brothers. One of the brothers, he was working as an engineer, or he had his own business. And then something happened, and he had to close down. So now he is unemployed. The savings that he had depleted, they are gone. Now what do you do? Do you accept to work for 30% of what you were making, or you wait until you are able to go back, like to have a grant from a bank, or to have a partner with big capital? What do you think? Some brothers, for now, it has been almost now 7 months. No work. And they are waiting for that opportunity. What would you tell them? What would you do if you are in that position? You had a small business, and it's closed down. You were making, let's say, every month 15,000-20,000. Very good. But in business, it's always continuation. It is not starting. That's why over 70% of new businesses, they close down within the first 2 years. Most likely, once you make it, after 3 years, inshallah, you'll continue. Most likely. So what do you think, brothers and sisters? This is a question I'm asking you. If this happened to you, inshallah, it will not happen. Everyone would wish that his business grows and increases. But suddenly something happened and you had to close down. Would you be willing to work instead of the 20,000 or the 15,000 you were making for 2,000? Or you wait for a few months until you find another opportunity with the 20 or the 30,000 you were making? What do you think?
Work.
You work?
Yeah, work.
For 2,000? It will be difficult because imagine for 1 year or 2 years you were making that much every month. So you established a certain lifestyle. Would you be able to adjust and go down, like leave all the toys, all the gadgets you have? So let's take a show of hands. What do you think? First option, work. Second option, you keep raising. Okay, I will tell you a story. Ali radiallahu anh again left Mecca with nothing. Almost all the immigrants, the muhajirin, left Mecca with nothing. Came to Medina. Ali radiallahu anh says, Asabat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa'ala. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in need and I wanted to help him. But of course Ali radiallahu anh didn't have anything. Even the dower that he gave Fatima radiallahu anh, it was nothing. So he went to find a work. What did he do? He found a Jewish man with a well of water. So he asked him if he has a work, and he said yes. You go down the well, fill the bucket, and bring it full. Okay, what is the wage? Kullu dalwin tamrat. For every bucket, one date. One date. So what did Ali radiallahu anhu do? He went down 17 times. 17 times. I don't think any one of us can do even 7. So he went back to the Prophet ﷺ with 17 dates of the Ajwa. He asked him to choose, the Jewish man told him to choose. Ali radiallahu anhu, eventually what happened to him? He became the Khalifa of the Muslims. So the same thing. This is, some people would say, I just have a lifestyle, it's very hard for me to go down. And practically, yes, it's very difficult and maybe not possible. But I would say, work. You applied for jobs, you waited, don't just wait. You found another job, work. Until this job calls you back. But you keep waiting, maybe this chance will never come. What do? You find yourself later full of debt. So, waiting is not an option. Why? Because again, this is the example from Ali radiallahu anhu. Another important principle when we talk about the barakah, and this goes back to the first point, that the money belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. As long as it belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal, keep a certain portion to Allah. Keep a certain portion to Allah. How? What does that mean? You earn every month 4,000, 5,000. Keep part of it immediately from the earner. I pay zakat. Yes, you pay zakat. I'm not talking about zakat. This is different. Don't you want the barakah? Zakat, it's purification. But here, this is something higher. Barakah. And the barakah is the blessing, the increment. So, keep a portion to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Zakat in Islam is on the savings, not on the income. You, on the other hand, you want the money to increase, keep a portion for the income that you make. I have children, yes, you have children, you have expenses, you have school, you have rent, you have this, you have that. You have Allah Azza wa Jalla. Keep a certain portion and see how Allah will bless your business. I could have made the entire talk about this to show you examples. Who of you went for Umrah or Hajj? Umrah or Hajj? It doesn't matter. At least you've been to Mecca or Medina. Or even Jeddah. Have you eaten at Al Baik? The restaurant with the fried chicken.
Oh, yes.
Who didn't? Do you think your Umrah is perfect without? What is the story of this restaurant? The father, now he passed away, rahimahullah. Now the children are the ones who are running this. The father sold the most selling meal, which is half chicken, for 10 riyals. From day one, he put aside 1 riyal from every meal. 1 riyal to Allah. What happened? Allah Azza wa Jal blessed him in a way that you all see. There is a secret. Why Al-Bayt is so popular? Now, he died. His children, what did they do? They increased. They made 2 riyals. And that's why it keeps going. On the other hand, I don't want to mention another competitors because I'm not making a commercial free advertisement for them, but this is the reality. The minute they saw that their business is flourishing and people are coming, they increased the price. Al-Bayk, from day one until now, it didn't change. I don't know now after 20 years whether, but I still remember 20 years ago, it's the same price, 10 riyals. Half a chicken meal, 10 riyals. Other businesses, they started with 10. The minute they saw people coming, it became 19 riyals. They did it. Compare that to what Allah Azza wa Jalla told us in Surah Al-Qalam. إِنَّا بَلَوْنَاهُمْ كَمَا بَلَوْنَا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ إِذْ أَقْسَمُوا لَيَصْرِمُنَّهَا مُصْبِحِينَ وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ. In Surah Al-Qalam, the second surah of the 29th juzu, after Surah Tabarak, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us the story of those three people. They owned a farm. They owned the land. It belonged to their father. Their father kept a portion for the poor and the needy. They came after his death and they said, no, that's a waste of money. So what did they do? لَيَصْرِمُنَّهَا مُصْبِحِينَ وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ. They will cut off. No one will take from it. You want to take, you will pay. وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ. So what happened? فَطَافَ عَلَيْهَا طَائِفٌ مِّن رَبِّكَ وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ فَأَصْبَحَتْ كَالصَّرِيمِ. It was all gone. It was all gone. Whatever belongs to Allah will never decrease. Unfortunately, many children, they inherit the business of their father, and what happens? They think that their father is an old man, he has old style now, there is technology now, there are new ways. Yes, true. They change and they lose. Why? Because of this simple fact that something their father did belonged to Allah, they didn't continue. Allah Azza wa Jalla told us this story. There was one doctor, this story I heard from one of the speakers in Syria. Any patient comes to him and pays the money. He didn't have a secretary or he had an assistant, but the money, the payment was given to him directly. He had 2 drawers. One drawer, he puts money, and another drawer puts money. This speaker who speaks, he was visiting him, so he was sitting next to him for a few hours. And he noticed that he is putting in 2 drawers. And then a patient came, didn't pay anything. So he opened one of the drawers, he took and he put them. He said, what's the story of those 2 drawers? He told him, I never reject any patient. Anyone who needs medication comes. And everyone who comes, I keep a portion for Allah. So whenever someone comes who cannot pay, who cannot afford, I take from here and put it here. So, we need these examples in our time. It's very sad that we look at the kuffar and they are becoming role models, subhanAllah. They tell you, look how generous is Bill Gates. He paid $27 billion for his foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates. Look at Warren Buffett. He also donated half of his wealth and he is encouraging other billionaires to do the same thing. Well, guess what? There was no one more generous than the Prophet ﷺ. No one. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they didn't wait until they die so they would bequeath that their wealth to be spent in their lifetime. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he gave up all his money for the sake of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ asked him, what did you leave for your family? He said, I left Allah and His Messenger. Umar radiallahu anhu, how much he gave? Half of his money. Not once or twice. Many times they did that. Uthman radiallahu anhu. So you look at them and you look at us. We have a hard time. Ya Allah, it's like the money is attached. I cannot spend it. No. You want to spend it and then you think of many other payments that you have pending. So keep a certain portion for Allah Azza wa Jalla and see how the barakah will come. One thing we have, the kuffar don't have, is the dua. The dua. When you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless your rizq, your provision, to increase it, to provide for you from where you don't realize, you don't think, you don't plan. Because no matter how much you plan, you put on paper, I want this, always you find that Allah is the best of planners. This is something the kuffar don't have. Yet you find them, mashallah, they have a lot of billionaires. So make dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla. You are in debt, you need someone to help you. There is no better help than the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way is actually to give something even when you are in need. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked, أَيُّ الصَّدَقَةِ أَفْضَلُ, what type of charity is best? Prophet ﷺ said, أَن تَصَدَّقَ وَأَنْتَ صَحِيحٌ شَحِيحٌ تَخْشَى الْفَقْرُ وَتَأْمَلُ الْغِنَى. To give, what is the best type of charity is to give when you are in need. This is the thing that many people don't do. I am in need, so I wait any chance to take. No, because you are in need and you remember that others are also in need, you give. Allah says in Surah Al-Balad, فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَةَ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْعَقَبَةَ فَكُّ رَقَبَةَ أَوْ إِطْعَامٌ فِي يَوْمٍ ذِي مَسْغَبَةٍ. To give in a day of famine. When everyone is increasing the price, it is a chance. I double the profit. No. That's what Uthman radiallahu anhu did. The year of famine, during Umar radiallahu anhu, when Umar was the Khalifa, an entire caravan came to Uthman radiallahu anhu. And the business people were waiting. Everyone wanted to purchase that caravan. Why? They make profit. So they asked Uthman, how much you want? How much you want profit? 100%? 200%? 300%? 400%? They reached up to 600%. He said, no, there is someone who gave me more. So when they reached six times, they told him, who came before us? We are the first ones here. He said, Allah Azza wa Jalla, this entire caravan is for the Muslims. And he gave it all for them. Did Uthman radiallahu anhu lose? Never. But who would think like that? So when you are in need, that's the best time to give. You don't have to give everything. We're not asking you to give. But remember that as you are in need, that's when you give, that's when Allah Azza wa Jalla loves the charity. And that's when Allah Azza wa Jalla will help you. So make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah, He is Ar-Razzaq. Whatever you plan, whatever you do, you work, the paycheck at the end of the month, that's not the one who's giving you, your boss. Allah Azza wa Jalla, your boss, your company, your business, this is all means. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who's giving you. One of the great shuyukh in the past century, rahimahullah, he was Shaykh al-Qurra, he was the highest of the chain of narrators in Syria, from the city of Homs. His student is telling the story because he heard it from the Sheikh directly. He was in debt. He was in need of money because he was anyone who comes wanting to read or being a guest, he would host him. He was very generous. He was making only 2,000. How much the debt? It was 11,000. Imagine five times the salary that you make. So if you save 5 months, you don't spend anything, you are unable to pay everything. You are still in debt. So the grocer next door, that's the one that he owes him, because whenever he needed cheese, milk, food, it's from him. So he came and he gave him this. the list of the debts. Totally 11,000. The Sheikh Rahimahullah was worried. Anyone would be worried. Because you look at the number, it's huge. It accumulated. It's how do you pay it? So he was praying to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And his habit, the Sheikh, his habit was that he would pray during the night to review the Quran. Because during the day, you open the Quran, you want to review, someone comes, interrupts you. So he kept the night for the sake of Allah. He was just praying. After he finished the first two rak'ah of Qiyam al-Layl, the phone rang. At that time, it was very rare to receive a phone call, especially during that time, and especially during the night. So he said, how can I help you? They said, we want to come, we are coming from Saudi Arabia. We are establishing a new university, and we heard that you have a unique library. You have unique books about Qira'at, about recitations of the Quran. So he said, can't you wait until tomorrow? They said, no, we want it now. He said, welcome, come. They came during the night. They checked the library, they said, we want to buy it. We want to buy your books. And the payment cash, how much they paid him? 100,000. At that time, this is equivalent to millions now. They gave him cash, 100,000. In the morning, he went to the grocer, how much he paid him back? The 11,000 that he owed. How much was left? 89,000. Why? Because of dua during the night, that Allah Azza wa Jalla listened. So remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening. Now, how would it be possible for someone who is praying to Allah Azza wa Jalla to help him while he is earning from haram? You want Allah Azza wa Jalla to bless your rizq? Haram is never an option. Never. Whatever you are in doubt, it's better to avoid it. It's better. Because maybe it is right, maybe it is wrong. But haram is never an option. So you say, I will take interest and then I will clean it later. No, that's never an option. But what's the alternative? There are many alternatives. You just need to look for the right alternative. There are projects regarding cars. There are projects regarding houses. I actually shared some of those with people because it's very sad that a young man who just graduated, who's 23 years old, who's 25 or even 30, who cannot afford paying upfront the entire price for a house, has to go through interest or any other option where it's labeled as Islamic, but in reality it is not. So where is the alternative? There is. But you just need to look for it. Taking interest, paying interest is never an option in Islam. Stealing is never an option. Cheating is never an option. Gambling is never an option. You want Allah Azza wa Jalla to bless your money, to bless your rizq, that's the way to go. They tell you stories about winners of lottery tickets and those who hit the jackpot. When was the last time you heard of established business was based on that? Never. Read their stories. They tell you they take pictures once they receive the money, but see what happens later. Many of them committed suicide. One of them, I read that and subhanAllah, it struck a chord. He said, the worst thing happened to me in my life winning that money. Because it's from haram and something that you didn't work for. So haram is never an option. Yes, everyone likes to have money easily, but if it is haram, stay away from it. Because Allah will never bless it. Allah said, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى. Allah destroys riba. وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah grows the charity, the sadaqah. So, finally, I want to conclude with last tip that would help increasing the barakah. Being moderate. Moderation is always the way to go for the Muslim. Why? The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ma ala muqtasid." The one who's moderate will never be in need. You made 100, you don't have to spend all the 100. Let alone spending 120, like some people do. You are making 3,000 ringgit only. why the line of your expenses is exceeding in your car, debit or even credit, that's another story, 5,000. Where will you get this money from? Why would you make it that much? Do not spend unless you have the money to cover it. So, you are making 3,000. What's the average to spend? Now, when you have an option, I'm not saying that if you have children, you have school, you have to deprive them, no. But there are people, they make a certain amount and they spend over that amount. So they are in debt. And the next month, they are, until when? What do you expect? Be moderate. Allah Azza wa Jalla reminded us, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful, I will increase. But you make that much and you keep wanting more. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed you. You were waiting for a promotion, you got the promotion. Then you want more, you want more. What happens? Allah Azza wa Jalla will take all that from you. You were not grateful. Back to Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu, the companion that I mentioned. One time he received guests. So the guests were sitting, hoping for something that he would give to them, as it was the practice, the common custom, to you have guests, so you offer them something. And they noticed that he is picking the falling dates, the dates that fell, that no one would eat. They would actually take them and feed them the animals. So they noticed that he is picking those dates, so they were shocked. They said, imagine what we will get if he is like that. They thought that he is very stingy, very cheap. So when he came with a plate of the best dates. So they were shocked. They said, how far are the two actions of you? Here you collected those dates, and now you are presenting to us the best dates. He said, I'm only able to do that because I'm doing this. I don't leave anything on the table. Your family has more right to it. The poor people has more right to it. So don't overspend. Be moderate. One of the current donors, philanthropist, rahimahullah, he passed away 10 years ago. He established one of the most successful charitable organizations in Kuwait. Because he inherited money from his father. And he grew that money. He opened other businesses. And from that business, he opened this. So his friend was telling me this story that I'm going to tell you. They were in Mecca, going for Umrah or Hajj, I forgot. So his friend, the Shaykh, who is telling the story, he said, we entered to a shop where he wanted to buy apples. And he asked, how much is it? He said, 5 riyals. So he left him and went. The other one, he asked him, how much is it? He said, 4 riyals. He bought from him. So he bought it from the second one. Why? Because it was cheaper. How much? 1 riyal. Then he told him, at the same trip, he told him, I don't want you to go to your place. Come with me. I want you to be one of the witnesses. He said, witnesses of what? He said, I want you to witness what I'm going to do because I need to. So he went and he endowed 2 buildings in Mecca. 2 buildings became waqf for the sake of Allah. Each one is over millions of riyals. So the Shaykh was shocked. He told him, you just bargained for 1 riyal. You bought from this. He said, yes, that's what a Muslim should do. If you are able to take it one riyal cheaper, why not? So he took it from there, but at the same time, he gave millions for the sake of Allah. And he died, rahimahullah. So we will all die, but this mentioning will be remembered, will be kept. So ask Allah Azza wa Jal and be moderate. When you are like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. عليكم السلام and once عليكم السلام you want the barakah to increase, come early, don't come otherwise you come to an interview. This is your first time here?
First time.
Yeah, that's okay. If it's first time, you are lost?
Yeah.
Welcome to Addis. I was about to finish, actually. But alhamdulillah, it is recorded. So that's what I have in Allah Azza wa Jal. Increase our rizq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the barakah. Because in Islam, one important thing is not about the quantity. It's not about how much you make. It is about the barakah, the quality. In everything, not only in money. When it comes to your ibadah, Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ. It is He who created death and life to test you who's better, not who's more. Same thing with money. You rarely find someone with billions and he is happy. Rarely. But someone who's rich, who's not that wealthy, they are enjoying the money. So it's not about how much you make. It is about what you can enjoy. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ بَاتَ آمِنًا فِي سِلْبِهِ أو فِي سَرْبِهِ مُعَافًا فِي بَدَنِهِ عِنْدَهُ قُوتُ يَوْمِهِ فَكَأَنَّمَا حِيزَتُ الدُّنْيَا بِحَدَافِهِ. He who sleeps at his dwelling, at his place, with his people, healthy in his body, having his provision for the day, it is as if he owned the entire dunya. The entire dunya. Because even if you have 10 palaces, you can only stay at one of them at once. You cannot stay at all of them. So all what you want is one. But imagine someone who owns 10, but cannot stay at any one of them. Why? That one, there is a risk. That one, there is an earthquake. That one, he has a business in another country. So it is about how many people, we heard stories of people who spent their entire life, their entire wealth, to own something, and once they owned it, they never got the time to enjoy it, and they died. So it is not about what you make or how much you make. It is about what you can use, what you can enjoy. And that's blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are buildings locked. No one entered them. Why? People didn't have time even to enjoy them. So ask Allah Azza wa Jal for the barakah where you would be able to enjoy. And enjoying meaning that you don't focus on the amount, the quantity. You focus on the quality. There is a story of one man who was fishing, and a new graduate with MBA came next to him and told him, what are you doing? He said, as you see, I'm fishing. So he told him, what do you do then? He said, I go and I enjoy my time with my wife, and that's it. He said, this place is one of the best places to fish. Why don't you increase the hours and then have more fish so you get more money, not only the one that you eat, but you sell some and you hire some people, assistants, they will help you. So you franchise that and you become a very big entrepreneur. He said, okay, and then what? He said, and then you get to enjoy your life and then you get to spend time. Yeah, and you get to go to your wife. He said, exactly, that's what I'm doing now. Sometimes it is sad that your circle of life for 30 years and you end up where you started and you didn't realize that. SubhanAllah, you see in the masjid, especially subh prayer, most people who pray are the old people. Why? Well, they have time. What about you? What do you mean you have time? Their 24 hours are more than the 24 hours you have. No, I have to go to work. Nothing comes before the ibadah of Allah Azza wa Jal. You put the ibadah of Allah Azza wa Jal ahead, Allah Azza wa Jal will bless your rizq. You put your money first, you put your dunya first, you will always be in this rat race. Always. Look at people. Just look at people in the morning when it is jammed. It's a big parking lot. And then, until when? So, Allah Azza wa Jal wants from you at that time to be praying, to be in the ibadah. That's what you should be doing. But what do we do? Just like the one who buys a shoe, and it was smaller size, and he wanted to take parts of his foot to make it fitting. No one does that, but that's what we are doing with our rizq. Allah Azza wa Jalla told you, this time you have to be there for the ibadah. So whatever you try to do, it will not work. The solution, just like the one who bought the shoe, is to exchange it with a bigger size. Not to change your foot. But that's what many of us are doing. Because whatever you do, your rizq is determined. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla guaranteed for you the rizq. So if it's guaranteed, then why do we work? We work to get what is guaranteed. But we don't ignore and neglect the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you want the barakah, just like haram is never an option, also leaving the commands of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that's never an option. That's never an option. So this is what I have. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us among those who listen to the guidance and follow the rest of it. Jazakumullah khairan for being here. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have about 15 minutes for Q&A if you have something. And then we will pray Isha, inshallah, in the Salaam.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm an academic student from
The sister is asking about dropshipping. Dropshipping, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not very rich. So. You are working or acting as the connecting point. All what you need, all your capital, all your business is established, could be just a website, where you advertise merchandise for people, and the customers, they check your website and they buy from you. You don't have the product. So your job is what? Is to connect them from the place. Is that pretty much what is it?
The customer will pay to the dropship agent.
Yes.
And then the dropship agent will pay to meet the supplier after taking some commission from that.
Yes, and that's how you make money. This is how one of the largest businesses, actually the largest e-commerce company in the world, Amazon, that's how it started. Amazon didn't sell everything they had. They sold many things they didn't have. I think the same thing Alibaba and the other big companies. So, what's the issue here? The Prophet ﷺ said to Hakim ibn Hizam, he told him, لا تبيع ما ليس عندك. Do not sell what you don't have. What you don't have. Why? Because you see, you are in a circle. And I, as a customer, I paid money. And you're supposed to give me, in exchange, the product that I paid for. But you don't have the product. You are acting as an agent, as a connecting point, or what you call dropshipping. So you send a notification to that, and you pay the money, and you keep the commission, the extra money that you... What happens sometimes is this. Now you are, based on what you post, the item is there. So the customer paid the money. So you sent the notification, but the source, the business, doesn't have that which was marketed. You already took the money. Now what happens? Actually, this happened to me. One time I was traveling, and my daughter wanted to buy a new cover for her phone. So I bought it online, and they usually, overnight, they deliver it. So I paid the money, because she wanted that specific one. I paid the money, and next day I was hoping that it will come, and then I received the notification that it's not available. So if it is not available, why we took the money? Okay, give me back the money. The money will be returned 2-3 days. At this, at that time, subhanAllah, I didn't have any money at all. So I couldn't get it. I wanted that exact thing and I couldn't get it. Because I was traveling the next day. So this could happen. That's the only issue with it. That when you are doing this, when you're doing this, you're selling what you don't have. The Prophet ﷺ said no. Now, the solution here is what? Now, some people try to work around this fatwa. Huh? And I tell you, this is not a fatwa. Don't take it from me, but I need to search it because I haven't checked on it for a while, actually. If you are guaranteed that it is there, and there is no risk on the customer, where the money will be refunded in a reasonable time, then Allah alam, then there is no risk, so it is permissible. Because the issue why the Prophet ﷺ prohibited it, in Islam, it is prohibited to take the money for no reason. The Prophet ﷺ forbade certain types of sale. Like, you go to a farmer, and this happens here, some people told me, that they want to purchase beforehand because it is cheap. You own 20 trees of durian. So you estimate that they will produce that much. So before they are even ripe, before they fall, you go to the farmer and you tell him, here is the money and everything is mine. And they are happy because they don't have to work, they don't have to collect, you will do all that. What if something happened, a flood or an earthquake or anything, and so the Prophet ﷺ said, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ حَبَسَ اللَّهُ إِنْ مَنَعَ اللَّهُ الثَّمَرَةَ. Do you see if Allah withheld the fruit? On what basis you take the money of your brother? So in Islam, this is prohibited. The same thing the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَلَقُّ الْأُكْدَانِ. Do not wait for the people who are coming from out of town to sell their things. Do not wait for them at the outskirts of the city to offer them cheaper price. Even though that would be nice, no. Let them come, see how the market works, and let them deal with it. Why? Because it would be deception for them or for the other businessmen. So there are certain transactions in Islam are prohibited. Why? Islam always looks for both sides, the buyer and the seller. So when you are a seller, you want to make profit. But what if you are the buyer? So there is a way, inshallah, for it. I will actually, this is good. This is one of the things that I need to check on. I've been thinking about it, but jazakallah khair.
Actually, I have this reason with my contributing, so I thought maybe I can handle it by myself.
Well, even if you do this, it's not a loss. Why? Because you don't want to be in doubt. One of the most famous athletes in the world, Hakeem Olajuwon, is NBA champion, basketball champion twice. When they asked him, what is your favorite ayah of the Quran? He said, in Surah Al-Anfal, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا وَيُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِ. All you who believe, if you fear Allah, Allah will make criterion for you. And that's what we need. The Prophet ﷺ would pray to Allah, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'ah. Show us what is right as right and grant us following it. Not just knowing what is right from wrong. Many people know, what can I do? It's my business. What can I do? It is what my boss told me. No. You know this is right and you are doing it. So you fear, even though maybe there is doubt, but you avoided it, Allah Azza wa Jalla will compensate for you. One thing I hope that we can come up with, like this example, when I don't have to sacrifice. The Prophet ﷺ, whenever he forbade something or mentioned that something is forbidden, he would always give an alternative. And that's the same thing in transactions. And unfortunately, we see people, they say, is this halal or haram? Like, do I have to go for interest, for riba, for mortgage, or I have to be renting for the rest of my life? Why we limit our options in two? Why isn't there a third option which is halal but still will allow you to own, for instance? So we need to look for those alternatives. That's the job of Islam. Not only just to tell you this is haram or this is halal. Jazakallah khair.
From the same situation.
Yeah.
My understanding is that if she is going to be drug smuggling, she's the agent for the actual seller.
Yeah.
Right? So she's not claiming that she's got the goods. As for the customer, he just wants the item, whether he's going to her or directly. So as long as she's not claiming she's got the goods to her, isn't it okay? Because she's just acting as an agent.
Why the customer didn't go straight to the seller?
Because there aren't many agents out there who's
exactly. The customer, at the end of the day, he wants his merchandise. He wants what he paid for. Okay? And the seller, this is what happens. The seller cannot reach out to everyone. So that's where the role of the agents come. Because they take some fee, they make profit out of it, and they benefit the seller. He sold, so everyone is happy. Doesn't matter whether she claimed or she didn't claim. I, as a customer, I didn't go to the seller. Take any example, like here, the common example is Lazada. You didn't get what you paid for. You will go to the seller, you'll deal with Lazada, because it's the one that's acting as an agent. Yes or no? Yeah, so that's it.
So is that an issue? If I want to sell the item that he's selling, I have to try to
take possession of it. Yeah, that's the way to go. If you don't have possession, that's their question. Are you allowed? Initially, that's what the Prophet said. He told Hakim and Hizam, do not sell what you don't have. But there has to be a way. I will see what the fatwa is and how is the alternative. Because now it's becoming, it's the most successful business. Yeah. But just because it is coming doesn't mean that.
So as a buyer,
you are paying for an item. Now, actually, sometimes it's better to go through this. Like if you go straight to the seller, you are not guaranteed that you will get the protection, the warranty, or this. So sometimes, actually, it's even better to go through the agent. And sometimes cheaper. So I used to give example for our students when they study in the transactions. And this is what we need, because we are taking examples from the time of the Prophet ﷺ, but what about now? There is a common website, I don't know if you heard of it, it's called Priceline. This works mainly in America and the UK. Priceline, you want to stay at a hotel. So you choose the area, like Anaheim in California, and you choose the general amenities or the star rating, like you want it to be 3 stars, no less. So they tell you, put the price, and that's where the name came from, Priceline. So you say, I want for 3 nights, the total is 120. They tell you the average night for this hotel, the average price per night is 100. But you wanted 120 for all 3 nights. So you say, that's the amount I'm going to pay. You put your details and everything, and you accept the payment. Then they tell you whether the payment is accepted or not. They didn't tell you yet the name of the hotel or where exactly is it. So then they tell you the price is accepted or the price is not accepted. You have to increase a little bit. Now, there is a risk that you get the hotel you didn't want because you don't know. But you asked for the general things. In Islam, generally, deception is prohibited. And this could be kind of deception. But again, we were discussing this, and the opinion was that this deception is minor and it is accepted. Why? Because as long as you got the area, not specifically the location in the street, but you got the area, like Kota de Mansa, anywhere in Kota de Mansa. You're not going to get it in Bangi or somewhere far. You asked for Kota de Mansa, you asked for 3 stars, you sometimes actually get higher than that. So these new things that are happening, there has to be fatwa for it, and if it's haram, what is the alternative?
So is it okay to buy through Alibaba,
Amazon,
or Shopee? Yeah. Because I didn't take my products from China
and
sometimes I couldn't get it from
the UK. Well, don't tell anyone, but that's what I do also. And I need to check on that actually. Yeah. Because in Islam sometimes you are not allowed to pay and you are not allowed to receive. Sometimes you are allowed to pay, but you're not allowed to receive. Sometimes you are allowed to receive, but you're not allowed to take. Sometimes it's both prohibited, both ways. So in this case, let's say the fatwa, the clear opinion, and the evidence says that you cannot act as an agent. But what about those who are acting as agents? We are giving them our money. So I need to check on that. Any other questions? Well, we should ask about having the account in a conventional bank because they deal with interest.
Islamic banking is better,
but just because adding a word Islamic at the beginning doesn't make it Islamic, generally. Now, the credit cards, the solution, the alternative, I don't know if that works because for us foreigners, that's the only option, which is, alhamdulillah, that's the best option. It's called secured or fixed deposit. So you have to put the money up front. So there is no risk of paying interest. So if that's the case, it's permissible. But what about if you have a credit card and in the contract it states that you are, if you are late, you're going to pay interest. So then it becomes haram. But as you said now, I never did that. I always pay up front. I have my bill. I'm making sure that it will. So in this case, the condition as it is not there. The condition of this stipulation that there is interest as if it is not there. But there is an opinion says it doesn't matter whether it happened to you or it didn't happen because you don't guarantee it will not happen. As long as there is this condition, the contract itself is not permissible. But I would say if you are able to have fixed deposit, the secured credit card, that's better. If you're not, as long as you are paying without any late fees, without any interest, inshallah, it's permissible. Same question?
Can you explain more about debt-to-debt sale? Like, for example, if you want to order a wedding gown, mm-hmm. but usually we won't pay for it. That's what we will. Wait until the dress is...
Yeah, this is called, in Islam, it's called istisna, custom made. They will not, I mean, they have standard items, but because of the different size, because of a different style you want, so they will not make it, unless you request it. And you will not pay for it, unless it is made. So what is the way to do it? Because in Islam, future sales are not allowed. Future sales where you pay later and you receive later. There is a huge risk, it's not allowed. What do you do? Scholars allow this. How? You pay up front a certain amount, and then once it is done, you receive it and you pay the rest. That's permissible. Scholars agree on that. Although initially it was not allowed, but scholars allowed because they said this is something like almost necessity. So it is permissible.
Can I clarify on this part? Because,
like, for example, when
we spectacle, it has to be custom. Yes. So normally they will ask, okay, would you like to make some deposit or full payment? Or
yes, because again.
So we should choose to make deposit on it and not to make full payment. Because once we make full payment, it's the future sales, is it?
No, actually, if you make full payment, this becomes like salam or salaf, where you pay up front and you receive the merchandise later. That's permissible. The issue here is what? Now, the risk is on the seller. Because if you pay partial payment, okay, and then you never came, which happens sometimes. The seller, what you asked for it, no one else wants this one. But you didn't come. So they need to guarantee something. Now, on the other hand, you made the payment, but it wasn't as you requested. So what happens here? So that's why you need to look at both sides. For the seller, it's not fair for him or her to make something that no one will buy except for you and you don't come. So that's why they need the payment. For you, on the other hand, you wanted something special, you didn't want something else. So, but you are afraid that it won't be what you requested. So the best thing is to pay partial payment and once you get it, you pay the rest. This initially was not allowed in Islam. But then it became like unanimous consensus that this is allowed because of the deen.
Yeah.
Otherwise, many benefits would not be had. Any other questions?
Somebody who's employed in a conventional bank, right? So, was in the earning as well.
To an extent, yeah.
So I've heard that that if somebody's earnings are majorly wrong, then you should not even accept an invitation to their food or any retreat that they're offering.
Yeah, if this is an option, yes, you would avoid it. Why? Because now in banks, there are many departments. It is a conventional bank, but there is a department where it has nothing to do with money, for instance. So here, there is still a huge portion that is not coming from bank. But if they are the ones who are enforcing the conditions and this of riba, then it could be all the earnings haram. So in this case, if you are invited, their earnings are haram. But does that mean that what they present to you is haram? This is one of the issues that scholars discussed. Because, again, just like as I said, sometimes it's prohibited for you to pay, but it's allowed to receive. The Prophet ﷺ was prohibited to take sadaqah. Barira radiallahu anha, she received sadaqah. And she was cooking. That was charity. It was food donated to her. So the Prophet ﷺ told her to put something for him. She said, no, it is sadaqah. You cannot eat. He said, you are giving me a gift, so for me it's a gift. I'm allowed. So it could be the same thing. But the pious predecessors, like Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, and other scholars, would avoid that. Now, do they have to? No, but this is what we call wara. It's an added word.
So it's not like across the board.
The kuffar, all their earnings is from what? Someone who owns a farm, pork farm. So his earnings is haram. He came to you, you sell plants. You plant plants and you plant them and you sell them. So he paid you the money. His money is from haram, not for him, but this is a legal transaction, halal. So the change of the transaction changes the order.
This is like wearing shoes made from pig leather. Is that the problem? Is somebody a gay person?
That's different also. This goes back to the tanning. Whether tanning purifies
its the situation.
Tanning, would it purify everything or not? That is different also.
What is the ruling on?
All animals. If the leather is tan, it's purification.
Even if it's pig leather.
Pig scholars differ. In the Shafi school of thought, nothing purifies it. So it remains haram. Bahi writes, and some other scholars said it is permissible. Because the Prophet ﷺ said generally tanning, he didn't exclude anything. Neither dog, nor pig, nor anything. So you can. For a Muslim, you have all the animals. Why would you choose that? Yeah, the Hanafi school of thought, they use in some medication also. They allow it. They say the hair is very strong. Yeah. Yes?
In your... Riba is haram. So what are the alternatives available for Muslims to finance things?
Look. As I said, there are always alternatives.
Of course, there's what comes that I'm
yes.
saying.
I have an idea, but I don't have the money.
Okay.
So, the way to go is what we call partnership. This is called qirab.
Qirab,
it's partnership where one side comes up with the money, the other side comes up with the work and the idea. And it becomes partnership.
Okay.
So, you don't have to borrow money and pay back money with interest. Why? Now, many people don't understand why Islam forbade it. There is no prohibition in Islam unless there is a reason. Riba, the closest example of it is the pure juice. When you say, I have pure juice, but it's not enough. I have five guests, and I have only one cup of pure juice. So what do? To fit all of them, you add water. You keep adding water until you have five cups. So that's enough. Yeah, but it is diluted. It's not real. That's exactly what's happening with money. And that's why from time to time we have crisis because of this. So I don't have the money and I need a way to do it. Islam encouraged us when something like that...
What would be the ratio?
Well, the ratio is based on what you agree. It's permissible.
So
it could be 50-50, 60-30, 70.
Okay, so it could also be 1% to the financier and then take the rest, right?
If he agrees.
It's still a percentage. So it's just the akad, which is the essence of it. It's not the percentage, it's the akad, right?
Yeah, the way of the contract.
The way of the contract, yes. That is the determining factor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If I come up with the money, and you say, since I'm doing all the work, I want 80% or 90%, and I agree, that's fine. But usually people, you will rarely find someone agreeing to that.
They would, because their benchmark is banks' interest rates.
No, banks, the problem with banks don't do development, that's the problem. Banks, all what they do, they give money and take back money. If banks were really Islamic banks, they would have done many useful things. The only real example that I saw in Saudi Arabia, Al-Rajihi, that's there. What they do, like you want a car, they do have their own cars. They buy and they put. You want a house, they have houses. So it is real. But the banks, now conventional banks, they don't care. You had a house or car, whatever it is. They care that you took money from them, you have to pay back money with interest. How and where, they don't care. That's it. And that's the problem. There is no real work.
Sure.
So in Islam, there is also, yes.
You mentioned this now for those people who work in the riba bank. If they work in a department that has nothing to do with the money, so that is allowed?
I didn't say it's allowed, but the ratio would not be necessarily 100% haram.
So
because it's still the money that they are paid, where is it coming from?
Yeah, the bank.
It's coming from the bank, and the bank is based on... on this.
So it's still not allowed, isn't it?
It's better, of course, it's better not to work in a conventional bank. Because definitely there will be haram, definitely. But if you work in an electricity company, and they told you that today the electricity that you are going to do is in this bank, that's different. Other questions?
What's the difference between dhunub and sayyi'at?
The what?
The dhunub and sayyi'at. Yes, when it is marked.
And what I mentioned in the Quran, so yes. the level of good or bad.
No, it's not about that. It is about the forgiveness and erasing or remaining. And sometimes a good deed is considered sayyi'a in an exchange. Like when Allah says, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٌ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. The compensation of the retribution of bad deed is another bad deed. You were allowed to do it, even though it is bad, but it is not marked. So the dhamm is what is marked as a sin. Sayya is more general. It could be sin or it could not be sin. It is about what is recorded.
So
the dhamm
is a clear sin. Sayya is a...
Could be a sin, could be a bad act, but not necessarily marked in your record as a sin. You had a question?
Yeah, just now you mentioned about bargaining for a better price when we shop. Okay, but I used to do that. I try to save, okay, to spend less. But then I learned, especially when we buy from small vendors, it's better that we don't bargain, and because their profit margin is less, it's try
Bargaining, the bargaining itself, it's not about asking for a lesser price. Now, when you go to someone and you tell him how much is it, and he says 10, and you say, no, 8, 10 is a lot. That's actually not allowed in Islam. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَ. Do not belittle what people have. The bargaining that is allowed, when you want to buy it for 8, you tell him, how much is it? And he says 10. And you say, can you sell it for 8? He accepts, you buy. He doesn't accept, you leave. You find it somewhere else for 8, you buy it. That's permissible. But there are people who say, no, I want, reduce the price for me. Okay, 9. No, more. It became very common that I know people will bargain, so from the beginning, I don't give them the real price. I increase it. Because no matter what, it shouldn't be like that.
But is it better if you know that their profit margin is less and
you
don't bargain
at all? Yes, of course. We pay huge amounts for people that like a car or a phone or this. We don't ask how much. And we come to this poor guy who is making very little and we start bargaining. You can do that. Waqf, it's more specific. Where sometimes you cannot even act or return call because it's more official. It doesn't have to be like that. It could be, but it doesn't have to.
So we can just put in our savings
account? Yeah, like there is a portion, 10% of... Actually, there are churches where they mandate from their members, you come to the church, 10%. That's the fee.
So what's the number in Islam?
In Islam, we don't have numbers.
I know, but like ratios or...
Ratio of what?
Best practices of their portion for Allah.
Well, again, it's up to you. We don't charge a lot here, man, so...
But here now, in Malaysia, like you said, zakat is only on the saving. But now in Malaysia, they have zakat on the income.
That's not zakat. Islam never taxes people for what they make. Because what if you made 1 million and you spend it? There's no zakat. Zakat is on what you save, reaching the threshold after 1 year. So it might be called zakat as a general term of Islam. Any other questions before we go to the salah?
Is it possible to use women model?
If it's for women, yeah. The problem is you use women and of course you will have to put makeup.
No.
Then yes. Okay, JazakAllah.